Well, good morning. I tell you what, you have a couple of special moments in a service, and if singing It Is Well With My Soul wasn't one for you today, you might want to check your pulse. That was fantastic. And Tom, the spoken word, you dropped the mic, mate. That was fantastic. Well, if you know me, you know that I have a deep love for boating. And you might have seen that over the last couple of weeks, we've been slowly shifting our drums. And it might be that finally we've got things sorted out on stage. It's taken me 8 years of doing Father's Day here, and finally we get a boat on the stage. And well, I tell you what, I thought what better day than Father's Day to bring something like a boat into here. And because we're talking about boats a little bit today, and I've got to tell you, we have a boat and we grow up around boats. So one thing you've got to understand with boats is often there's incidents. They're not always the best thing for your marriage, all right? Sometimes there's conversations that can get stronger than others around boats, all right? And the passage we're looking at today with Peter was again another incident around a boat. But you know what? I think the fact that boats are in the Bible quite a bit, they obviously are a religious experience. Maybe we should have been the Salvation Navy and not the Salvation Army. But so here was Peter, and he had this incident where he walked on the water and then he started to sink. Look, I don't want to brag because there's not too many things that Peter and I have in common, but let me say, when I walk on water, I don't sink, all right? There you go. No worries. But look, that's for another day. But I want to unpack this story, this idea of Peter, because I think there's something in it for all of us. There's a message there and a challenge for all of us to consider. So it says here, and if Jonathan, what he read, and he alluded to an incident before that, and it was this idea that Jesus had fed 5,000 people. And then he says to the disciples, look, you guys get, jump in the boat and start to head over the other side of the lake, and I'll meet you there. I'm not sure why someone didn't ask the question then, how that was going to work. But anyway, so the guys started rowing through the night and they're starting to make their way out onto the lake. And if you know, once you get out into the middle, you don't need much of a wind. And if you've done any rowing, rowing into a headwind becomes really hard. So they're making little ground, but they're busting at the oars. And then it says that at 2 o'clock in the morning. So they're still busting at the oars at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it says that Jesus then started to walk towards them on the lake. In the middle of the night, I suppose I can just picture the moon just shining enough that you can make out the silhouette. But Jesus starts to walk towards them. They're busting on the oars. And then he says, and as he gets closer, Peter says, Jesus, is that you? Now, I kind of thought about that a little bit, and I'm thinking, well, who else was he expecting? I've got to tell you a little side note to this, right? So I don't mind watching a bit of sport, and sometimes sport's on late at night, and there was a time when I was probably coming to bed about 2 a.m. and, you know, open the door and come in. And I try to do it as quietly as I can. But this night, I woke Donna up. And as she turned over, she said, Craig, is that you? And I'm like, you know, in that split second, you're like, part of me was thinking of, well, who else was she expecting? But then there's this other part of me that said, What if I say no? So anyway, Peter says, Jesus, is that you? Is that you? And he says, if it is you, I want to come to you. I want to get out there too. If it's you, Jesus, I want to get to you. I want to leave this safe space. I want to leave what feels comfy. And I want to get out into the waves. I want to try something different. Because if it's good enough for you, then let me at it. You know, there's a book by a guy named John Eldridge. It's called Wild at Heart. And if you have any investment in young men, I would encourage you to read this book. Take a photo of it now. Because it talks about this idea of how we should raise our young men. And I've got to tell you, it's a very, very interesting read. And I will let you know this, that after reading this book, I remember when my little fella was like 4 or 5, if he didn't do something that I thought he should, I'd call him a wuss or tell him to man up. And I'll tell you right now that since I read this book, I've never called him a wuss and I've never told him to man up in his life. All right? It changed my view of how we should actually mold and shape our men. But anyway, John Eldridge, he has this idea, and there's these three, he says that as a man, there's three core values or three core desires for a young man. Stay with me, people, stay with me. And Eldridge says that for us as men, there's a battle for us to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. And so he says this idea that there's something inside of all of us as men, from the yellow, that we actually want to live on a risk. We want to give something a go. We want to actually try something out of the ordinary. And in fact, it's a part of something that makes us as men. There's this natural part that we want to take something on and have a win. And so I suppose in some ways, for Peter, this idea of getting out of the boat, this was the adventure for him. He wanted to get out of the ordinary. And in fact, you could even go as far to say, the fact that all these fishermen just dropped their nets and said, Jesus, we're with you, says that they wanted to live on the edge. They wanted to take on something bigger than themselves, something out of the ordinary. And so Peter says, bless you. Jesus, Peter didn't say that was me. Peter says to Jesus, let me live on the edge with you. Let me get out of the boat. And so he starts to swing one leg over the side. Now I've got to tell you, when you learn to barefoot, right, there's a point in which you take one foot off the ski and you stick it in the water and you start to pray because you're doing about 60 kilometres an hour. And then there's this other point in which you actually go, I'm going to trust that foot enough to lift the other foot up so the ski gets left behind and bang, you plant that foot and off you're going to the dance, right? I'm tipping that's what Peter was going through here. He swings one leg over the boat. And then he brings the other leg over. And then at some point there that he actually trusts, this water's going to hold me up, right? So he's trusting the water to hold him up. And then with every step that he takes, he's moving one step further away from what is safe. And he's moving one step further away from what is secure. And one step further away from what he knows. It became more and more uncertain for him. And as it became more uncertain, doubt started to grow. Panic started to rise. I can only imagine that the pulse rate started to go up. And with that, he started to feel the water slowly coming up past the ankles, then the shins, then the knees. And as you feel it get to your knees, then the pulse rate goes up even more. This is starting to bring on this anxious moment. And in this split moment, as he's starting to go under, he yells out, "Jesus, will you save me?" And Jesus grabs him by the hand. And as he looks him in the eye, he said, "Don't you have enough faith?" Don't you have enough faith? Well, then the Bible says that they then got in the boat and they worshipped Jesus. You know, I'm trying to look at this moment through Peter's eyes, because I doubt whether he was worshipping. He's sitting in the back of the boat, soaking wet, and all he can hear is those words Jesus just said to him, "Haven't you got enough faith?" And I'm just seeing him with a towel over his shoulders saying, "Why didn't I just stay where it was comfy? Why not just hang in here with the rest of them? What was I thinking? You idiot." There was no worship coming out of Peter at this time. He was just sitting in the back of the boat. He blew it. And friends, I'm going to say this morning that I reckon there's been times when each of us have sat in the back of the boat, soaking wet with regret, wondering, why did we give it a go? You trained your guts out, but you didn't make the cut. You creamed the sales pitch, but they gave it to someone else. You put all your time and your effort into that course, only to fail. You desperately wanted to be on the team, but you're overlooked. It was yours to own, but they gave it to someone else. You nailed the audition, but you didn't get the call back. We've all been there, sitting in the back of the boat, soaking wet, wondering why it didn't happen for you. Sitting in the back of the boat, you failed, you missed out, you got cut. You know, Eldridge would say that it can only truly be an adventure to win if there's a chance that you can't or that you won't. It's not an adventure if it's a done deal. You've got to live on that edge, that the thought that you might fail. No one wants to turn up to a game where the score's already been decided, right? But what do? When we end up sitting in the back of the boat, soaking wet, when we missed out, what do? When that happens to us? And it's how we respond to that, because I think where God wants to take us this morning. Because we all fail. We all have things that don't go our way. We've all dropped the ball. But what do we do next? Too many of us get paralyzed at this position. And life goes into a holding pattern. And the sad thing is that we never reach our finest hour. We never actually get to embrace all that is available to us because we take that hit and we just stay sitting in the back of the boat. We give up, we get wet, and we tap out. There's a great guy who writes some stuff called John Gordon, and he wrote this book called The Power of Positive Leadership. And in this book, he talks about this guy, James Gills. Now, James Gills, he's actually done what they call the double Ironman. So if you know an Ironman triathlon, right? Now, so it's virtually a stupid thing you should never do, all right? It's running a marathon. I think it's about 150K bike ride and about a 5K swim, right? Not sure if the body's made for that. But this John Gill, he did it and then turned around and did it again, okay? So we're talking idiot, right? But anyway, when asked to John Gill, how do you do this? Because he's done it a couple of times, the double Ironman. And he said, and here it is here, he said, I have learned to talk to myself instead of listen to myself. Now, before you all go, oh yeah, old mate's been talking to himself for years, all right? But here's what he said. He says, when I listen to myself, what I hear is you can't, you shouldn't, give up, stop, you can't make it. But when I talk to myself, I decide what I need to hear. I decide what's important that's going to help me press on. You know, I'll let you in on a little secret. So there's a couple of people here at North Brisbane who do park run on a Saturday morning. And we go down to Sandgate and, you know, just a shout out to Jonathan Chapman. He got a PB 2 weeks ago. Good on him. All right. But I'm good for that first 4Ks, but coming in that last, it's 5 kilometre run. That last K, my feet are getting heavy, my shoulders are falling over. And you know, it's amazing how your mind starts to tell you, actually, that knock in your knee, you probably should stop, all right? Or that heart rate, you should, you know, act your age, slow down, big guy, all right? But maybe it's a bit of cool runnings in me, but I start to tell myself things. Your legs are like pistons. You are strong. And in fact, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The last about 300 metres is like a bend, okay? I think I'm running the 200 bend at the Olympics. Anyone remember Michael Johnson? Great 400 runner, used to run right up, and that's how I come home, right? If I was a racehorse, I'd be doing these ones, right? But I tell myself those things to get me home. If I listened to myself, I'd be stopping for a drink at the 4K. So I try this. I've learned to talk to myself, to tell myself what I need to hear. Because when I listen to myself, I come unstuck. In fact, this is backed up by Scripture in 1 Corinthians. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You know, it's amazing how the devil can sound like your own voice when it's inside your head. So when you're sitting in the back of the boat soaking wet, what do you reckon Satan wants you to do? He wants you to stay there. He wants you to give up after the first go. Oh, I tried doing that ministry and it didn't work. oh, well, you know what? They don't deserve it. Oh, you know what? I put my hand up for that and they didn't pick me. Well, you know what? Stuff them. That's the kind of stuff your mind wants to tell you. That's what Satan wants you to believe. Because when I let the words in my head control me, they speak of fail. What I can't do, that I'm too old, I'm too young, too fat, too slow, too whatever. Friends, don't for a second think that's who you are. So this is your opportunity to speak life and truth into your life. So cling on to Scripture. How about these apples? My favourite verse, I've come so you can have life in its fullness. Speak that into your life when you're wet in the back of the boat. Those who hope on the Lord will renew their strength. It's on our wall, friends. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. When you're at the 4K mark and you feel like getting wet in the back of the boat, speak that over your life. Philippians 4:13. Go and speak this into someone who's maybe wet in the back of the boat. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Or Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. I've heard from many people here, this is their catch cry verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do you believe that? Yes. Friends, God didn't design you to stay in the back of the boat, licking your wounds, soaking wet. You were made to have a go. You were made to get out of the boat. You know, God made us. Yes, we will have failures. Yes, we will get wet. But that's not who you are. That's not who we're called to be. You know, we were called to get wet, to have another go, to cheer each other on when it gets hard. In wrapping up this morning, I want to tell you, Peter did bounce back. He didn't get it right again, but he still bounced back. He didn't stay wet in the back of the boat for too long. In fact, Matthew 26 tells us that for Peter, there was a time when, after Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus met him on a beach. And Jesus hugged him. And the reason he did that is because of something that happened a couple of days earlier. In true Peter style, Jesus said, you know, guys, I'm going to get arrested. I'm going to get flogged and killed. And Peter, like Superman, pulled back his S and went, everyone else might leave you, Jesus, but not I. I will fight with you to the end. The hero status come back again. And do you know what happened? Jesus said to him, Peter, you know what? In fact, yes, the rest of them will run, but you're actually going to drop the ball not once, not twice, but three times. You're going to deny me three times. And you'll know exactly when it happens, because what you'll hear is a rooster will start to crow. And I think he probably just maybe loosened off his grip on the Superman S. And then, just as Jesus said, it happened. He denied him once. He denied him twice and he denied him a third time. And then the rooster crowed. And I can tell you, I'm tipping from that moment when Peter put his head on the pillow at night and he shut his eyes. What do you reckon he heard? He heard that rooster again. And regret started to eat him up because he dropped the ball. And so fast forward a couple of days. And Jesus says, standing on the beach with a hand on his shoulder, Peter, I know you messed up. But do not stay soaking wet in the back of the boat. Feed my sheep. Step back up to the mission. Have another go. You are worth it. I need you. Have another go. Feed my lambs. And at that point, it was like Jesus got a towel, toweled him off and said, mate, we're going to do this again. I'm going to invite the band to come up and join me. Because I reckon there's some people here today who have sat in the back of the boat for way too long. You gave it a go once and it didn't work. So you've just been shivering in the back of the boat with that poor me kind of attitude. They don't deserve me. Or it might be that you've given it a go or two. And something that was said today has actually challenged you that you need to take another step. That God's actually placed on your heart the need to do something more. So friends, I'm actually wondering whether it's time to get your feet wet again. Don't shiver in the back of the boat saying it's someone else's job. It's time to actually get your feet wet again. And so as the band plays, we've actually got, go figure, aren't you glad I do things with water and not flames? Okay? One year I might do the pillar of flame, but we better get the... But I'm actually thinking that there's people here today who need to come forward and actually get their feet wet. Just bring that down a little bit, mate. And so as we do that, it's just a symbol of saying, you know what, I'm willing to have another go. I'm willing to give it another shot. And so there's going to be people here who can pray for you. And I can tell you right now that there's people in this room, and what the devil's actually already said to you in your mind is, you know what, you're not great at tying your shoes. Maybe you should just leave yours on. Actually, you know what, you can just say yes here. And I think that would rob you of this special moment. So as the band plays, someone can pray for you. You don't have to go into the word. It might be something else and you want to come and kneel. But if you want to make this a statement of faith or a symbolism of you stepping in again and saying, God, I'm all in. I'm not going to sit in the back of the boat soaking wet with regret. Then I encourage you as the band plays, kick your shoes off. And if you struggle to tie them, I will come and personally tie your own shoes. But let's allow God to shape us and mold us. He wants people who are all in. And like Peter, yep, you're gonna mess up again and again and again. But he continues to say, have another go. I need you. I want you. This is best for you. So have another go. So as the band plays, why don't you move freely? If there's someone you want to pray with, you can do that. You can pray here. But let's allow God to have his way. They're going to sing this song, I Can Only Imagine. And as they do, let's move and allow God to have his way. Amen.